It's good to have everyone here this evening. Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Ezekiel. Book of Ezekiel, chapter 12. And again, we'll read just verses 1 and 2. This evening, we'll be dealing, closing up some thoughts with verse 2 this evening. The word of the Lord also came unto me, saying, Son of man, thou dwellest in the midst of a rebellious house, which have eyes to see, and see not, they have ears to hear, and hear not, for they are a rebellious house. The word of the Lord came also came unto me. That is, again, it came unto him. Again. He had received word of the Lord through vision in the previous chapters. It had ended with the glory of God departing the city, departing the temple, and departing the city. And he delivered all that word to the people, to the captives. And now the 12th chapter begins, the word of the Lord also came unto me, saying, and discloses to him the sad, sad moral condition of the people, of the country. We told you at the start of this, in studying this, we've not failed to draw a parallel with our own country, with our own people, with the whole world. Amen. Today. But we've brought it down even on a more level playing field, if you'll allow me that terminology. Our churches. The Lord's churches. Many of them. I would say the majority of the ones that I know of are in this sad moral condition. And so last week we looked at the fact that they were in a condition of moral stupidity. Dullness. They were morally stupid. They were spiritually stupid. Spiritually dull, and therefore they were morally stupid. The will of God had been made known unto them, as we've said before, for over 900 years. We've looked at the book of Deuteronomy, and these warnings were sounded out to their forefathers coming out of Egypt and in the land of wilderness, and just before they're ready to enter into the promised land. These warnings were given to them. And Israel continued, by and large, to be a rebellious people. A rebellious people. That doesn't mean there weren't periods of time when the Lord worked through different men, because he did. But as time went on, it got to be less and less and less and less. And the wicked ones that became in rule became more wicked, more wicked, more wicked. And the people became more wicked, more wicked, more wicked. They became just like the nations round about them. The nations of which they were in the midst of. They became just like them. They wanted to be like them. The Lord had warned them not to be like them. And they became just like them. Tonight we want to close the thoughts from verse 2 with a moral callousness. You see, spiritual dullness, spiritual stupidity leads to moral stupidity, moral dullness, and it leads to a moral callousness. Just think about callous for a moment, and you'll know what we're talking about. And this moral callousness originated from their persistent wickedness. We've talked over and over again about how they just compounded sin upon sin upon sin upon sin. When you think back in your experiences before you were saved, how sin compounded, think about your experiences since being saved. How that sin compounds itself. We don't have to go far. We're studying in Sunday school about David and the sin which he fell into. And we see there in the life of David how sin compounded one upon the other. And so that is the way of sin. And it brings about a moral callousness. He said, for they are a rebellious house. You see, he opened verse 2 by saying, son of man, Ezekiel, son of man, you dwell in the midst of a rebellious house. And you and I, we can equate to that. We dwell in the midst of a rebellious house. We asked ourselves the question last week and the week before. Is that said about us? Not that we dwell in the midst of a rebellious house, but are we a rebellious house? Is the Grace Baptist Church a rebellious house? By and large. And so we have to ask ourselves tonight, if we are a rebellious house, that maybe someone amongst us is dwelling in the midst of, are we morally callous? Their moral stupidity was a consequence of their habitual sin. They were the ones to blame. They were at fault. When the judgment of God comes upon them, falls upon them, they have no one to blame but themselves. Amen. Turn with me to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. And look at verse 23. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong, he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And there is no respecter of persons. And the argument might be made, well, this is speaking to a group of saved people. This is speaking to a church, to the church at Colossae. And yes, it is. So he's speaking to us tonight. Yes. Whatsoever you do, church, do it heartily unto the Lord. And whosoever does wrong is going to receive for the wrong that they do. God's not partial. God's not partial. He didn't tolerate it with Israel. We think he's going to tolerate it with us? Romans chapter 2. Want to look at verse 11. But just to show you, in verse 8, but unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile, but glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. So we have here the two classes, those who work evil and those who work righteousness. Verse 11 says, for there is no respect of persons with God. You see, he's going to deal to every man according to his work. Message a few weeks ago on recompense. He will repay. The practice of sin dulls the spiritual reception. The wicked who live a life of sin, they are dulled spiritually. They are spiritually stupid. We could say, as 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says, that they can't understand the things of God because the things of God are spiritually discerned. And they have not a spiritual discernment, they only have a natural discernment, which is to know the things of man. That's the summation of those verses there. You see, they're spiritually stupid. And that because of their sin, because of their wickedness, because of their evil. And it is so with a child of God who gets caught up in sin, and that sin goes on, and they get dulled spiritually. There's a lack of spiritual reception. Not that they can't put on a good show. You say, well, how would you know, Pastor? I've been there. I know from experience. You've heard me testify before. I don't remember how long a period of time it was. It seems like forever now. It seemed like forever then that the Lord let me go on, and then he let me go no further. And he reproved me and rebuked me. And what did he use to reprove me and rebuke me? He used his word to do it. They're dulled spiritually, so they have no reception of spiritual things. It destroys the capacity for receiving or perceiving spiritual truth. If you as a child of God and as a church member are living in sin, you are in that boat. And you can deny it if you want, but that doesn't change the fact. When the Lord dealt with me and brought me out of that rebellion, I was a rebellious house. When the Lord dealt with me and brought me out of that rebellion, it was amazing how interesting the Word of God became. It was amazing how wonderful the Word of God became. It was amazing how exciting the Word of God became. Again. Turn with me to a passage of Scripture that we read last week, but we're reading again this week, in the book of Psalms, in chapter 92. Psalms chapter 92 and verse 6. A brutish man knoweth not. A stupid man knoweth not. A man dull spiritually, stupid spiritually, does not know. What doesn't he know? He doesn't know the things of God. He doesn't receive the things of God. Neither doth a fool understand this. A fool. The one who's stupid does not understand the things of God. In fact, you know what the fool has said in his heart. Turn with me to the book of Luke. The book of Luke, chapter 12. And the Lord Jesus said this in verse 56. He said, "Ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky and of the earth. But how is it that ye do not discern this time?" And let me tell you, there are so-called Christians that fit that bill. They can discern the weather by the sky. They can discern the weather by the earth. They even think they can discern the coming of the Lord. But they have no idea what they're talking about. Another verse that we read last week in the book of John, chapter 8, in verse 43, Jesus telling those Jews there that said they believed, but it became obvious that they did not believe, because he says in verse 43 of John chapter 8, "Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word." they had ears, but they did not have ears that could hear the word of God. They were spiritually dull. And they did not receive the things of the Spirit of God. And of course, we know what Romans chapter 3 in verse 11 tells us. There is none that understandeth. That is in their natural state. In their life of sin. And you as a child of God, when you live in a life in sin, you do not understand either. You do not understand God and His holiness and His righteousness. You do not understand the judgment of God upon sin either. When this dullness of spiritual receptivity is destroyed and the capacity for receiving or perceiving spiritual truth is destroyed, when it's fully developed, it ends in moral callousness. And your church members ought to know what callousness is, what moral callousness is. We've just come through the book of Ephesians in chapter 4. We're in chapter 5 now. But turn with me to the book of Ephesians in chapter 4 and look at verses 18 and 19 to refresh your memories. He's telling us in verse 17, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind." He's talking to saved church members of the church at Ephesus. And he's telling them not to walk as the unsaved Gentiles, of which they once were. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, understanding being darkened is like unto hardness, is like unto callousness. Being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. That word blindness there is equated with hard callousness. The blindness of the callousness of their heart. And he's telling us not to be like them. But living a life in sin, which he's admonishing against in the 4th chapter. We'll bring that on. We'll bring that on. Who being past feeling. You see what it brings about? We know what calluses are. They're past feeling. They don't have the sensitivity as other skin parts on our body. This is just a callus is just a compilation of a lot of dead skin. And it's dull. Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. The book of Matthew, in chapter 13. Look what Jesus says here in response to the disciples asking him why that he spoke in parables. Jesus, why did you speak to the multitudes in parables? Why didn't you speak plainly to them? Well, he says this in verse 14, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, keep that in your mind, is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. That wax gross means has become fattened, has become thick, has is figuratively meaning to stupefy, to callous. That's what Jesus charged them with. Look with me at the book of Psalms. Psalms 119. In verse 70. Verse 69 says, the proud, which is an abomination to the Lord, the proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart, the proud, their heart is as fat as grease. Their heart is thick as grease. The likeness there is to how the grease builds up and sets up. I immediately thought of lard. Remember lard? You can still buy lard. You can't find it as prevalent as you used to find it 50 years ago, 60 years ago. But lard is pretty hard. Even setting out at room temperature can be pretty hard. No, maybe on a high humid day, it'll soften up a little bit. But it's thick. That's the likeness of the proud there. Thick heart. They're calloused. They're past feeling. They have no sympathy for the Word of God. They have no sympathy for God's people. They have no sympathy for anyone else but themselves. You see. 1 Timothy. And I remind you, 1 Timothy is written to the young preacher Timothy. Notice what the Holy Spirit says through the Apostle Paul. Verse 1 says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Some shall depart from the faith. It will be as though they turn their back on the faith which they profess, on their salvation, on their church. And they go to living a life of sin, and they have their conscience seared as with a hot iron. Well, what happens when you get flesh seared with a hot iron? Well, it hurts, it pains. But you know, after the pain and after the blister, you know what? It's not so sensitive anymore. Not until that all heals over again. And you and I, by living lives of sin, can become calloused. Our hearts, our conscience. A saved person, the conscience is the spiritual pricking of their mind about what they're doing is wrong. And you live a life in sin, it becomes seared. It becomes callous. And you're not sensitive to that pricking any longer. This is the likeness concerning Israel. And the likeness is the application to us tonight. We can become just like them. We're warned in the New Testament not to be like them. Turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians in closing. Book of 1 Corinthians in closing. And we've looked at this passage of Scripture much lately. Verse 11. Now all these things happened unto them, the Israelites, for in samples. What happened to the Israelites and all those things that happened to them were in samples. They were examples to us. And they are written for our admonition. In other words, it seems like it is admonishing Israel. As we're going through the book of Ezekiel, it seems like Israel is being admonished. But you know what? You and I are being admonished as well. Amen. Upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Just as they did. You see, we need to all be warned. Tonight, we all need to be admonished tonight that we not fall like they did. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you